John chapter 3 this evening, but the rest of us, we can turn to John 3, but the children that are in third grade on down to 4 years old can go out the back door at this time, and they have children's Bible hour. Now, you can get them afterwards if we don't lose any, but hopefully we won't lose any. But how many of you parents want us to lose one of yours? Okay. Oh, boy. All right. But we probably won't lose any. Sorry about that. But they'll have something down there for them. I sure have enjoyed our time in the chapels with these guys that are in 7th grade through 12th grade. I've seen the little kids a little bit around, but it's a good school. The Lord's doing some very good things here. It's a good staff, and I like the direction this school is going, and they're making it a good, solid Christian school, and it's being done right. I've been in ministry now for 27 years, hard to believe, but sometimes you see some schools, you think, what are they doing over here? It's not producing anything. It's not, there's no love, there's no, the teachers just don't even care about the kids, it seems like, but they do here, and then the kids seem like they all hate each other. Well, here they don't seem like that, they seem like they like each other. Maybe they're pretending, but it's really good what I'm seeing around here, and I'm glad that a lot of you have decided to put your kids here in the school. Now, how many of you do teach here in the school? You teach here in the school, okay? How many of you are on another staff position in the school? Secretary, a janitor, something. Okay, good. And they're the heroes investing time in this. They don't make very much, except the pastor. He makes a lot. But everybody else, they don't make too much. And they do it because it's a ministry. And we sure appreciate them. I'm sure you do too. Amen? All right. All right, now let's go ahead and address something that I think is very important. There are lots of different churches, there are lots of different backgrounds, and a lot of different opinions. And it's okay for us to have different opinions. We've got a church, a Christian school here, that obviously we're going to teach, and they're going to teach what they believe here, and even when it comes to convictions. I know some of you don't think that the convictions that they have here are that important. Well, you're wrong, okay? But it's okay if we have some different opinions on some things, and we're not enemies if we have different opinions as long as we believe the faith in Jesus Christ is the way of salvation, amen? But there are a lot of different people that send their kids to the school, and what has to be addressed and has to be settled is, though we can be different on some things, we've all got to get to heaven in the end. And the only way we're going to get to heaven is through faith in Jesus Christ. And that's what needs to be settled. And so I want to speak to us about something like this, related to this, in John chapter 3. I want you to turn to John chapter 3, and we'll begin reading at verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, which means I'm telling you the truth, truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It doesn't matter if he is religious or has a different opinion. Jesus said a person's got to be born again or he's not going to get to heaven. Regardless of his position on music, position on other theological points, you've got to be born again or you're not going to get to heaven. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Truly, truly, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water, that's your physical birth, and of the Spirit, that's your spiritual birth, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, physical. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit, spiritual. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Heavenly Father, I do ask you to use this to open some eyes that need to be opened tonight, perhaps. And we pray, Lord, that everyone here would examine themselves to see if they just have religion or if they're born again. Because there's no way anybody, regardless of their background or opinion, will ever get to heaven without being born again. So, Lord, help us, I preach, to make it clear and let the Holy Spirit work in hearts accordingly. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I took Lamaze class. I was the kind of man that wanted to be in the room when my children were being born. So they required me to take this class we called Lamaze. Many of you have had it. And we did all the breathing exercises. We did the... All right, let's all do that together. Ready? There, you're ready to have a baby. Now, I took it pretty seriously because when my children were being born, I wanted to help them. I didn't want to get in the way, and I did not want to make my wife hyperventilate. And I knew that if I would mess up, it might get in the way with my children's physical birth. But when we look at what we're looking at tonight, and we've got so many different people with different backgrounds and opinions, I believe that it's even more serious that we are careful how we deal with this. Because when you mess up with somebody's physical birth, it could cost a life. But honestly, if you mess up with this issue, it'll cost your eternal soul. So it's very important that we deal with this biblically, not just with our own opinion. So we're going to look at this subject. I remember as I talked to a preacher one time that I respect, and I said, how many people that go to church think that they're going to heaven but probably aren't? And he said, I think 30 to 50%. And that was alarming to me. But when I look at people that say that they're saved, and you look at what they say has gotten them saved, you can see why there are many that are not really saved. And then when you look at some that say they're saved because they prayed a prayer, but they don't have any heartbeat for God. Yes, I'm speaking to some of you young people that I do care about. If you don't have any heart for God, if there's no heartbeat, there's no life. And so it's very important that we understand what is being born again. So tonight, let's first look at the explanation of new birth. What does it mean to be born again? Now, the reason we need to be born again is because physically we have life, but spiritually we're born dead. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't have any ability to reach out to God, as some people teach. Everybody can draw nigh to God if they want. Now, God has to draw them all the way to salvation, but that's a different theological message. But when it says that somebody is dead spiritually, it simply means they do not have the nature of a Christian. Now, when somebody gets born again, they get a new nature inside of them. Now, the old one still exists, but then a new one is added. And it's a spiritual life that is just as alive and real inside of a person as the physical life is real. Now, the Bible explains this in Ephesians chapter 2. Let's turn there, please. Ephesians chapter 2, it says, and you have been quickened, in verse 1, that means made alive, who were dead. So before you are made alive or born again spiritually, you're dead spiritually. Now, obviously, you're alive physically, but you're made alive spiritually. And it says what being made alive is you get a new nature. Now notice verse 3. Among them also we all had our conversation, that's our behavior, and time passed in the lusts of our flesh. So the old nature, you just behaved according to someone who has an old nature. And fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by what? Nature. Children of wrath. And so God says before you're born again, you've got an old nature, and you act like somebody with that nature. Now, this might explain a little bit. If you take a pig out of the mud, and you wash him down, and you get all the mud off, and then you put a pink bow around his neck,
And then you spray perfume on that pig and you say, now pig, you're pretty. Pig, you smell pretty. You don't like mud anymore. You're a new pig. But then you let that pig go. Where's it going to go? Right to the what? Mud. And why does it go to the mud? It's the nature of a pig to like to go to the mud. So you say, you stupid, rebellious pig, I told you you don't like mud. But if the pig could talk, he would say, I'm not trying to be rebellious. I just like mud. I just like it. And why? It is his nature. Now, when somebody is an unsaved person, they've got a nature that naturally thinks like unsaved people. Spiritual things are not important to them so much. And an unsaved person is more comfortable doing what unsaved people do than what Christians do. But when they get born again, they get a new nature. And it would be like a pig getting a nature of a kitty cat. Now, a kitty cat's always trying to clean up, but a pig's always trying to get dirty. And when somebody gets born again, they just all of a sudden get that nature of a kitty cat, so to speak, where they want to stay clean. Now, here is what being born again is. You get a new nature that wants to do what Christians do. Here's the old nature. You want to do what unsaved people do, and you think like unsaved people. And it's a radical transformation of your soul. All right, it says, Ephesians 2, that you get saved by faith. Notice verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith. And I'm going to explain that in a little bit. Now, if people here tonight think you get to heaven by your works, look at the first three words of verse 9. If you think your good works are enough that you might get to heaven, and if you keep being good, you'll get to heaven. Notice the first three words of verse 9. Not of works. So question, can somebody get to heaven by doing good works? Yes or no? So then, we are saved by faith, not by our works. And any one of us can put our faith in Jesus. And if you were confused and thinking I have something to do with works, well, good news. You finally figured out it's nothing to do with works. It's faith. But once you get saved, you get a new nature that wants to do right. Let me prove it to you. Look at verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, that doesn't mean that you get to heaven by good works. It means that when you get a new nature, you're going to naturally want to do good works more than you did before. All right, please look at Ephesians 2:15. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Ephesians 4, verse 24. And that ye put on the new man, which after God, get this, is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now, do you see that? And I can give you several other verses. That's what being born again is. God creates something that didn't exist before in you. It's as literal as your physical life now is in you. As literal as you were born physically. For me, it was June 5th, 1965. Then you get born again as literally as you got born physically. He puts a new nature in you. You can't see it, but it's there. You could take a computer, take the outside off, put in a new processor and a new hard drive. Put the outside back on. Now, it looks like the same computer on the outside, but it's a different machine, right? Now, if you're ugly before you get saved, you're ugly after you get saved. So the outside doesn't change, but the inside always changes, because that's what being born again is. Now, I heard a preacher make a statement. I think it's powerful, and I think it's extremely accurate and also alarming. A faith that does not change a man's life does not save a man's soul. Now, many people think, I prayed a prayer when I was 6, or when I was 3, or when I was 10. And so I'm good. But their life has not been affected, and they don't have a new nature. They just have the nature of an old, unsaved person. If you said a prayer, but you didn't get a new nature, then you didn't get being spiritual birth, because that's what being born again is. You get a new nature. Now, Not everyone who saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. And you know what I believe that means? Not everybody who prayed a prayer, Lord Jesus, come in my heart and save my soul, is going to go to heaven. Why? Because you don't get to heaven by that prayer. You get to heaven by faith and repentance, which we'll talk about a little later. And if you're hanging on to prayer, I'm not mad at you. I'm trying to open your eyes to see something that's very, very serious. You can pray, Lord Jesus, I make you my Lord, and still split hell wide open. Now, the way that you genuinely get born again, we're going to talk about it, is faith and repentance behind that prayer. And we'll explain that. But don't think that you're born again if you don't have the nature of a Christian, because that's what being born again is. You get a new nature. Now, a little worm will crawl up a tree and make a cocoon. It comes out a beautiful butterfly. Now, it doesn't tack on wings. It has wings. It doesn't paint pretty colors on. It has pretty colors. It's a radical transformation. Now, when somebody gets a new nature, it's as radical of a metamorphosis as a worm turning into a butterfly. You become a new person on the inside. So, have you been born again? Or did you just get a little religion? And I know we're from different backgrounds, but I have a brother who just recently went on to heaven. I'm 50 years old. He's 51. He got cancer and he died. Now, as I look around the congregation, you could be thinking that I might be trying to preach a clever message tonight. I'm done with clever. I'm worried about some of you 5 years from now are going to be in heaven or in hell. And I'm worried about some of you 10 years from now are going to be in heaven or hell. And some of you young people are never going to have anybody confront you. And I'm telling you, you don't have a heart for the things of God. I'm concerned about you. You will end up in hell unless you are genuine. And so this is not a game to me. This is a matter of eternal life and death. Now think with me. Everybody who was alive on earth 100 years ago is now dead. Am I right? And how many people were here 100 years ago? A lot. And then 200 years ago, they're all dead. I think about Billy Sunday preaching in his day. All those people are gone. D.L. Moody, all those people are gone. And they're either in heaven or they're in hell. And everybody in this congregation is just the same. Some of you it'll be 5 years. Some of it'll be 10 years. Some of you it'll be longer. But the majority of us will be within 50 years. And so we have to take a look at this issue. Life is to be enjoyed, but it is to be a time where you sincerely make your decision to get born again, or you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. All right, now first, what is the new birth? You get a new nature. So secondly, how can you tell if you have it? Evidences of it. Evidences of a new nature. 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourself to see whether you be of the faith. Now, when I had 3 children, the first thing that went through my mind was, I hope that they're not ugly. Then I thought, I hope that they are alive. And that would have been the better thing to start with, wouldn't you think? But anyway, I was looking for any kind of evidence. I'm looking for a hand movement. I'm looking for the nurse to go, oh, or oh. I'm looking for any kind of evidence. I'm looking for, is there a heartbeat? Are there brain waves? And I know that my kids have heartbeats. I haven't figured out if they have brain waves yet. But I have 3 that are alive, and I'm very proud of them. But anyway, I was looking for evidences. Now, my job as a preacher is to look you teenage guys over. That's my job. That's why I make the big bucks. I'm kidding about that. But my calling is to look at people and see where they are. Just as a surgeon deals with a heart, and if he will evaluate that heart and he'll say, hey, this surgery needs to be done, and here's how it needs to be done to save this person from death. Honestly, I'm not God and I know it. But I want to examine people, and if I don't see any heartbeat, I'm concerned. And I am concerned about many people that are religious but just don't seem to have evidences of salvation. Now, when you get saved, what changes is your soul? That is your mind, your emotions, and your will, the three parts of your soul. And if you're saved, these three areas will be changed. At first, there'll be a change in your mind, the way that you think. Now, a pig thinks one way, a cat thinks another way, a dog thinks another way, and a bird thinks another way. Now, they all think differently because they have different natures. Everybody follow me? Yes or no? Okay, now, a Christian thinks one way, and it's not his fault. We think like we think because we are what we are. An unsaved person thinks another way, and it's not his fault. He thinks like he thinks because he is what he is. And here's the way an unsaved person thinks, and here's the way a Christian thinks. 1 Corinthians 1:18, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us which are saved, it's the power of God and salvation. Now, you know what that's saying? An unsaved person, don't get mad. I'm not accusing you of being a loser. I'm telling you this is how unsaved people think. An unsaved person thinks spiritual things are dry and boring and not important. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us which are saved, it's the power of God to salvation. You know what that means? For somebody who's truly born again, spiritual things are going to be important to him. Now, he might go through a time that's dry where he needs to get revived, but he's never going to think of spiritual things as being dumb and a waste of time. Now, I was in Florida, and there was a group of young men and women from the Christian school up in the balcony. It was a rather large auditorium, about 1,000 people there, and up in the balcony I saw these young people while we were singing. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. And the whole time up there they were going, amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Like, isn't this the dumbest song we've ever heard of in our lives? Now hear me. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound might not be Christian contemporary music. It might not have a drum going boom, boom, boom. And it might not even have a guitarist jamming. But nobody who is truly born again is going to make fun of a song, Amazing Grace, that's about the cross. Now, if you think that spiritual things are dumb, hear me, it's not your fault, it's your nature. And that's the way that unsaved people think. Have you ever heard somebody who say, I'm saved, but then you talk to them about going to church and they just don't want to ever go? Now, I'm not trying to be judgmental, but I just want to see if you can relate to this, okay? And if you're one of those people, I'm not trying to make you feel bad, but they don't ever want to go. If you know anybody like that, nod your head, raise your hand, and they claim to be saved. Anybody know anybody like that? Okay, here's the thing. Have you ever heard of somebody who says they're saved? And here's what I'm concerned about some of you young people, because, listen, all you got to do is go home, take one little match, light up the smallest little birthday candle you could find, take one finger and stick it in that birthday candle, one finger in a little birthday candle for 5 minutes. You wouldn't be able to handle that. And if you can't handle one little finger in a little birthday candle for 5 minutes, how do you think you're going to handle a whole body burning in hell? You won't be able to. This candle will burn out, but hell won't burn out. And so this is why this is an important thing. Now, if you're the young man that said, why do I have to go to a Christian school and have religion crammed down my throat? Mark it down. There are reasons that you may want to go somewhere else. But if your statement was, why do I have to go to Christian school and have religion crammed down my throat? Mark it down. That's somebody who doesn't like things that are spiritual. They're foolish to him. That's an unsaved person. You say, well, that's pretty dogmatic. How would you interpret it? The preaching of the cross is to them that perish what? Now, am I scolding you? No, I'm asking you to examine yourself. Because, listen, you can't handle one little finger and a little birthday candle. You can't handle your whole body burning in hell because of some false profession you made. Now, if you love God and you love your Bible and you sin once in a while, Don't make me make you doubt your salvation. Don't let me do that. But I'm talking about the person who doesn't want anything to do with God. It's a bunch of dumb foolishness. Mark it down. That's an unsaved person. And that's the nature of an unsaved person. So examine yourself. Now, first, the way you think. Number two, the things you like. 1 John 2:15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, what's in the world? The lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Now, it's not talking about if you like baseball, if you like basketball. But, you know, on the other hand, if I see somebody, whether they be a teen or whether they be an adult man, and they are absolutely mesmerized by sports, but have absolutely no interest in church, I'm going to say, I question the person's salvation. Now, there's nothing wrong with these things. But when the things that are ungodly are things that you are liking and comfortable with and want to do, but the things that are spiritual, you have no interest in it, that's an indication that you have not the love of the Father in you, and I believe it's an evidence of not being born again. Now, Billy Sunday had a man come up to him, and please don't think I'm scolding you. I'm just trying to say if there's one person in here that goes to heaven instead of hell because of tonight, I think it's worth it. Anybody else agree? But I think there could be more than one. Now, think with me. Billy Sunday, ever heard of him? Anybody heard of Billy Sunday? Yeah, he was a great preacher. He was about 100 years ago. And when Billy Sunday was preaching, one day when he was done, a man came up to him and said, "Mr. Sunday, every time you preach, it's like you rub the fur backwards on a cat." Now, how many of you have ever done that before? Just rub the fur backwards on a cat? Be honest. Come on, confess. Hold it up real high. You're sick people. You are sick people. Now, what happens when you rub the fur backwards on a cat? It goes like this. It goes, and it doesn't like it. Now, you know what Billy Sunday said? If every time I preach, I rub the fur backwards on the cat, then tell the cat to turn around. Now, think with me. Some people you meet, every time they go to church, it rubs them the wrong way. They're forced to go. Anytime somebody talks to them about God, it rubs them the wrong way. Hey, listen. There are some of you that may have actually put your kids in the school, and I'm not against them for you, and I hope you keep them in the school, but you're thinking, I want them there because the teachers care about my kids, but I just don't like all that religious junk. Listen, it's not religious junk, it's the hope for your kids. And if your mindset is, that's a bunch of junk, spiritual things rub you the wrong way, and then the things of the world rub you the right way, what's that tell you? You've never turned around. Now let me ask you young people, examine yourself. Does God and faith and religion and this kind of thing from the Bible always seem to rub you against your grain? That's an indication that your nature's not different. And you say you're scolding. No, please don't think I'm scolding. I'm, as a doctor would tell you, you need to examine yourself, because if not, you will not get to heaven, and we want you there. Okay, now, first, there is the evidence of the change of mind. Number two, the evidence of the change in your emotions. You don't change your emotions. You can't change your emotion any more than a pig can, any more than a cat can. But when you get saved, you get a new nature, and you naturally are going to like the things of God more than you did before. You're going to be more open and wanting it instead of fighting it and resisting it. And that's just the nature of a Christian. It's the power of God to salvation. Now, the third part about the soul that changes is his will. All right, let's look at 1 John chapter 3, and it says something very alarming. 1 John chapter 3. And it's in the Bible not to make you feel bad. It's in the Bible to help you get to heaven. That's the ultimate goal. You say, well, I'm already going there. Well, good. But maybe somebody else is not, and maybe you should just look at this anyway. All right, now, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 6. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, Let no man deceive you. You can be deceived. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he, God, is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest or made known, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now get the alarming word in verse 9. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. So who is born of God doth not commit sin. That is what it says. So what's it mean? Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Why? His seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. A pig cannot want to be clean because his parents didn't want to be clean, and he got that nature. And you want to be dirty, it is because you got the nature of the sin. But then, when you get born again, you cannot habitually sin. Now look at verse 10. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Get it? Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. Neither is he that loveth not his brother. Now when you look at it at face, it's appearing that if you're born again, you're never going to sin. But you know what we know? The Bible says even if you're born again, you're going to sin. How do we know? 1 John chapter 1, 9, if we confess our sin, he'll forgive us. 1 John 2, 1, these things I write that you sin not, but 1 John 2, 2. Yet, if any man sin, we have an advocate with God the Father. You know what that's saying, folks? Christians are going to sin. So don't be alarmed if you sin. But here's what it's saying. This is one time it's good to know a little bit of Greek. And I do know a little bit of Greek. Not a lot. I'm not bragging. I took 2 years. And I can read commentaries. And here is what I learned. That is written in the linear tense, which means continuous lifestyle or habitual. And here's what it is saying. If you're habitually involved in sin and you're comfortable there, you are not born again. If you were born again, you wouldn't be comfortable in a life of sin. That's what it's teaching. Now, there are some people that will say that's not what it's saying. But hear me. He that is born of God doth not commit sin. That's what it says. It's not a lifestyle. Here's what it says. In this the children of God are made known, and the children of the devil. He that sins is not of God. He's of the devil. He that does righteousness is of God. Now, you can take that and you can just disregard that if you want, and you can go on and you can live a lesbian life, call yourself a Christian. Homosexual life, call yourself a Christian. A habitual liar, call yourself a Christian. Go out and keep looking at porn, totally comfortable in it, call yourself a Christian. Live with someone you're not married to, call yourself a Christian. But the Bible says you're deceived. And this is not to make you feel guilty. You know, the hardest thing you'll ever do, folks, is try to live like a Christian if you're not one. This is why it's so hard for some people. Because they're saying, man, I'm trying, but I just can't do it. I guess I'm just backsliding. Listen, if you fall into sin or you go into sin, and even if you do it on purpose, if you're born of God, you'll have times you do it on purpose. I do sin sometimes on purpose. I know what I'm going to do is wrong, and I do it anyway. But you want to know what happens? Holy Spirit goes, boom, right in my chest. Anybody relate to that? And the Holy Spirit says, that's not right. Get out of that mud. And you know what? I get out of it because I'm just not comfortable in it. Now, if you're comfortable in sin as a teenager, I'm begging you, examine yourself. And we're going to talk about what true salvation is in just a minute. But I'm telling you, you got to see you might not be saved before you'll ever even listen to what I say about how to get saved. Okay? Now, let's turn and look a little more specifically, real quickly, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Now, am I scolding you? No. Am I scolding you? What's the answer? Thank you. I'm not, but I'm trying to help you because we've got some people, even if it's only one, it's worth discussing. If there's one person, whether it be a teenager or whether it be a dad, if there's one person in this room on their way to hell, it's one too many. Now, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and it gets a little more specific. I don't write the Bible, I preach the Bible. It says, "Know ye not, the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not what?" Yeah, you can be deceived. Now listen, don't get mad, because I don't know anybody in this room is doing this. But if you're doing this, then you need to think. "Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." Be not deceived. Fornicators are not going to heaven. Now, what is a fornication? It's when you have immorality. If you don't know the term, I'm not being crude, sex out of marriage. When you get involved in immorality one time, that doesn't mean you're not saved. Anybody could fall into some sin with the devil out there and the world after us. But here's what it's saying. If you're involved in it and you're saying, "I'm saved, but I just am going to live with this woman anyway. I'm going to live with this man anyway. I'm saved. I'm okay. I just am backslidden." Listen, if you habitually are involved in sex out of marriage, immorality, God's Word says you're deceived. You're not on your way to heaven, because you could not be comfortable doing that. Somebody says, "What about Lot?" Yeah. How many times did righteous Lot have immorality with his daughters? It's recorded once, and it was wicked. But the habitual lifestyle, you have reason to doubt your salvation. And I'm just asking you, I don't know if there's anybody here, and I know this is kind of personal, and I know that this is kind of like almost in your face a little, but that's not my intent. I don't know it, but you do, and if anybody else around you knows it, I'm not trying to embarrass you, and I hope that they will respect you and not look at you. But if you're living with somebody right now you're not married to, and you're involved in immorality, you better check up on your salvation. I don't care whose Sunday school class you prayed a prayer in. And I'm not being mean. I want you in heaven. Now, it goes on and it says adulterers. Now, could somebody have adultery? Yes. And be saved? Yes. But if your plan is, "I'm going to move out, I'm going to shack up with this other person that I'm not married to, or I'm having an affair and I don't care, that's what I'm going to do," that's evidence your heart's never been changed. If you're a drunkard, I don't know if there are very many of you that drink beer, but if you're getting drunk, I'll guarantee you this, that's not something a Christian's going to be comfortable doing. It says effeminate, not trying to be unkind. Somebody says you should never say that homosexuality is a sin. Why? God says it's a sin. Now listen, the Word of God says a proud look is an abomination. Lying tongue is an abomination. And God calls a proud look an abomination and lying tongue abomination. Listen, should I not say that it's an abomination because people lie? Should I not address it? And when the Word of God says that this is an abomination, then it's an abomination. And so is lying an abomination. But the Bible teaches that if you're involved in that kind of a lifestyle, then you're not born again. It doesn't matter if you call yourself a Christian. It says you will not be in that lifestyle and comfortable there. Now examine yourself is what I'm saying, because a faith that doesn't change it doesn't save you. And what's at stake? 5 years from now, 10 years from now, you say, "Oh no." Yes. Everybody was alive 100 years from ago is now dead. There might be a few, 101, 102. But every person in this room is going to be dead. Heaven or hell, you say, "I'm so glad I came to church tonight." But the fact is, most of us, it'll be within 50 years. For me, it'll probably be within 30 years. For some of you, it'll be within 5 years. And for some of you, it might be 1 year. Now, if you're going to go to heaven, it's okay. Right? It'll be okay. My brother went to another country. I've never been there. Now, I've never been to Russia, but I know it's a country. And you get on a plane, you can fly right over there. Now, I've never been to heaven, but it's a country, it's another place, You don't get there by a plane, you get there by graduating through death, but you're going to be somewhere a year from now, 5 years from now, and that's why this is important, that you don't just say, well, I prayed a prayer. Which leads me to my final point, the explanation of new birth, you get a new what? Nature. The evidence is a new birth, there'll be a change in the way you think, things you like, and the choices you make. Just like a pig's going to make a choice for the mud. A dog's going to make a choice for the sun. A cat's going to make a choice to be clean. A Christian's going to make some choices consistently, and an unsaved man will too. Which leads to, why then do some people make a profession but not get changed? It's because you don't get saved by good works. You don't get saved by going to church. That doesn't make you a Christian. And some people think, well, I prayed a prayer, I should be good. Put on your safety belts again. You don't get saved by just praying a prayer. Yeah, you got to work for it. No. It's the heart behind the prayer. It says, with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made to salvation. But what has to be in that heart? Two things. And we're done. But this is a matter of eternal life and death. Faith and repentance. Faith and repentance. Now, do you think I'm for you or against you? I hope you think I'm for you. I like every one of you, except that one guy, right? I'm just kidding. I like every one of you, okay? And I hope that you understand. I'm not up here an egomaniac. I personally think there are people out there that could probably preach just as good as I could preach or better. Okay? I'm not an egomaniac. I'm not up here trying to get you to feel bad. I'm here to persuade some of you. You must be born again, and you got some kind of counterfeit thing. There are women here that didn't get it. You prayed a prayer, but your life's not changed. How do I know? Well, it says, if you're born again, you will not habitually sin, and you're living with someone you're not married to. And then there are other people that say they're born again, but they don't have any interest in the things of God, no heartbeat, no brain waves, don't even think like a Christian in the smallest way, not born again. Then it says you will love. And you're somebody who says, I'm born again, but you just don't have any kind of love in you. There's a big question mark over your born again status. And so here's what we want to do. We want to see why some people pray a prayer but don't get born again. Because they don't understand what I'm going to look at tonight from the Scriptures. There are two things necessary for salvation. Well, let me preface it. Well, I'll say it. Faith and repentance. But let me preface this faith and repentance thing and tell you why I believe it. Now, let's say the baby is inside the mom's womb and the baby says, it's dark in here, I'm getting out of here. And so the baby says, I'm going to get myself born. Okay, what you going to do? I'm going to push. And so the baby starts kicking and it's going, but the body doesn't think it's ready. Is the baby going to get born? No. Let's say the baby's in the birth process and the body kicks in the birth process and the baby says, nuh-uh, I ain't going out there, uh-uh. And it props its feet up against mom's hips. Now, if the body says it's time for that baby to be born, it's going to be born. And here's when the baby gets born, when the body senses it meets the conditions. And here's when you'll get born again. Here's when you got born again, if you did. When the Holy Spirit of God senses or sensed, you met or meet the conditions. You got to meet the conditions to be born again. You can pray a prayer and not have the conditions. You're not born again. You won't get born again. I don't care. You won't get born again without these conditions. Here's what Jesus preached, his very first sermon. Mark 1:15 saying, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. So repentance and faith. All right, Acts 20:21, the Apostle Paul, testifying both to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord and Savior. Stay with me, don't get bored. This is a matter of eternal life and death. Number one, faith. Number two, repentance. Now let's talk about repentance real fast. What does repentance mean? Many people think turn around. And in the Old Testament, there is that idea, but this is what he's teaching in the New Testament, and it's also in the Old Testament. Here's what the word means in this context. A change of mind. A change of mind. Now, what will be the result if you change your mind? There'll be a change of direction. Now, illustration. Let's say I'm on my way to Burger King, and I have a Mac attack. And I decide I'm not going to Burger King, I'm going to go to McDonald's. I changed my mind. That's a simple illustration of repentance. Now, how can a person tell if I changed my mind? If I turn the steering wheel from Burger King to McDonald's. Now, if I said, I'm changing my mind. I'm going to McDonald's. I'm not going to Burger King, but I drive into Burger King parking lot and I say, I'm not going to Burger King. I'm going to McDonald's, but I go and I order a Whopper with cheese. And I say, I'm not going to go to Burger King. I'm going to eat at McDonald's. But I sit down in Burger King and I eat my Whopper with cheese. Question, did I change my mind? Now, a change of mind will result in a change of direction. And some people say that they changed their mind about Jesus, but the direction of their life hasn't changed a bit. And that's not salvation. You don't get saved by changing the direction of your life. You get saved by changing your mind about Jesus, and it will change the direction of your life. Now, notice the emphasis in Acts 20, 21. Testifying both to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance, get this, many people, repentance is from sin. That's what they think. Here's what God says. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord and Savior. So the emphasis is not stop the sin. The emphasis is look to Jesus. Choose Jesus. Toward God. Choose God. In your mind, decide, I want Jesus. I want Him for me. All right, now, here's the concern. There are some people that you can see they prayed a prayer, but you can tell they don't want anything to do with Jesus. Hey, let me ask you, young man, did you have to get drugged here by your parents or did you want to come? If you don't want Jesus, you don't have Him. You got to decide, I want Him. There was a girl who said to me, I need to get saved. I said, I thought you were saved. She said, no, I'm not. I said, why? She said, because all my life I've grown up in this church and I came and I did what God wanted. My parents wanted, excuse me, because I wanted to be a good daughter. And I went on mission trips, went soul winning, prayed a prayer to receive Jesus. But the whole time I was doing this because I love my parents and I want to make them happy. And it's always been my mom and dad's thing. She went from kindergarten through 12th grade, graduated, and she said, it's always been my mom and dad's thing, and I wanted to do what they want. And you know what I said to her? I said, you've evaluated correctly. You'll never get to heaven until Jesus becomes your thing. Now, do you want Him? She said, yes. I was in a meeting, and a man, I'd been in his church at least 8 times. He decided to come down the aisle. He came to me, and he said, I need to get saved. I said, brother, are you sure you're not just having some doubts? He said, I know I'm not saved. I said, why do you say that? You've been a faithful member here for years. He said, I know I'm not saved because all the time I've been coming to church, I want to please my wife, be a good husband. And I decided she wants to go to church. I will go to church with her because I want to support my wife. But I'm sitting here thinking, yeah, this is nice. It's my wife's thing. But I have never made Jesus my thing. I said, sir, you've evaluated correctly. You'll never get to heaven until Jesus is your thing. Now, if you don't want Jesus, you don't have Him. And here's what repentance is. It's turning from whatever you have to that is holding you back from turning to Jesus. Now, McDonald's, it was Burger King. But for some people, they need to turn from Allah and turn to Jesus. Allah won't save, Jesus will. Some need to turn from, I hate to say it, not being mean, but the Virgin Mary. She can't save. She's a good woman, but she can't save. Only Jesus can save. And some need to turn from sin that they don't want to give up. But whatever it would be that would keep you, you got to turn to Jesus, one, believing what He did on the cross 2,000 years ago could save your soul today, and you want Him to save you. And you want Him. Not, you just tolerate Him. So first, there's repentance, a change of mind about Jesus. I do want Him for me. It's not somebody else's thing, it's my thing. And until you want them, you can't have them. And then the final thing is faith. So you got to ask yourself, if Jesus died on the cross for you, and if he loved you enough that he really didn't kill you when you sinned, and he could have, hey, he knows every sin you've done, and don't you think God sometimes gets a little frustrated? But the Bible says that even while we're sinners, he died for us. And God showed his love toward us, and while we're sinners, Christ died for us. And greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friend. And it's true. The whole calendar system is set up on the fact that Jesus was on earth, lived, died, and arose. Why do we have Easter? It wasn't because of a bunny hopping around. Why do we have Christmas? It's because somebody decided we need to remember this and we need to celebrate it. You say, well, I don't think that's the right date. Who cares? We have Christmas because we're remembering that Jesus was here. Today's year, 2015 A.D., after death. Basic idea. So he was here and he died and he buried and he rose and it really was for you. And if you walk away, you're walking away from love. 100 years from now, what we wish you have done with Jesus. So you've got to decide, I want him for me. That's repentance. But then finally, you say, praise God, but finally, faith. Now, simple illustration of faith. Many people think faith is just, I believe that Jesus died on the cross for people's sins. That's not faith. Faith is better explained by the word trust. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And it's the idea of putting your trust in what he did on the cross. 1 Corinthians 15. This is the gospel by which you're saved. Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, was buried according to the Scripture, and rose again the third day according to the Scripture. And this is the good news by which we're saved. And what that's saying is I'm putting my trust in what he did. Now, what are you putting your trust in? If you're putting it in what you did, you're not saved. Somebody says, well, I believe that Jesus died on the cross, but you've got to earn it. You're putting your trust in you earning it. You've got to put your trust in him. And here is John 1:12. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, born again. As many as received him. Somebody says, well, yeah, I did that in the Catholic Church. I took a wafer. It explains what receiving him is. Here it is. And I'll give you one illustration. Has two parts and we're done. Receiving him. As many as received him, them gave you power to become the sons of God, and I want you in heaven. I don't want to make you feel bad. I'm doing this because you've got to examine to see if you put your faith in Jesus. If you have, good. If you haven't, you can. Here it is. Even to them that believe, get this little word, on his name. On is different than in. Here's on. On is I'm trusting what he did. My whole weight, my whole hope is on him. And here's an illustration. Imagine that there's a cavern and it's 20 feet across and 200 feet down and we're going to jump it. The first guy goes up and he jumps and he goes 7 feet 4 inches and we go, good job! Spot on the bottom of the cavern. Next guy jumps, and he goes out 9 foot 2 inches. So we go, good job! Great job! Spot on the bottom of the cavern. Next guy jumps, he goes 2.5 feet. Should have been on a diet. Next guy jumps, and he goes 19 feet, 11 and a half inches. He's just a half inch short. What happens to the guy who's only a half an inch short? He falls to the bottom of the cavern and he's just as dead as the guy who only went 2.5 feet. Understand? Now, some people live better lives than others, and that's good that we try to be moral. But the Bible says all have sinned and come what? Short. And nobody's good enough to get to heaven on their own. The only way we get to heaven is we've got to get there by faith. And here's the illustration. If I want to get from this cavern to the other side, I've got to take a bridge. Now, I can believe a bridge will hold me, but that's not faith. Here's faith. When I walk out on the bridge and I deposit my weight on that bridge, now I'm standing on it. If it goes, I go 200 feet to my death. I'm trusting that bridge. That's the only thing I'm trusting. I don't have a rope tied around me to a helicopter in case the bridge breaks and I'm holding on, or I wouldn't be trusting the bridge. Now, here's what a lot of people do, and here's where we mess up. Please don't worry if you're from a different denomination. You can be from a different denomination and go to heaven. Please don't think I'm telling you, if you don't even go to church, that you can't go to heaven. I think you need to go to church. I don't think you'll ever be right with God until you do go to church, if you can go, and I mean it. But I do think you can go to heaven if you don't go to church. But here's what you've got to do. You've got to put your faith in what Jesus did alone sincerely and want Him sincerely. And by the way, if you want Him sincerely, why would you not want the church? And when you tell me you're sincerely wanting Jesus, but you don't even want to go talk about Him, I'm wondering if you really want Him, because you talk about people you love. Just a thought. But here's the thing. You're standing on the bridge, and here's what some people do. They believe Jesus is the way to heaven, but they've got a rope tied to the helicopter of good works written on the side. In case Jesus isn't enough, good works will help. Or maybe the Virgin Mary. Maybe she'll help. And maybe even the Baptist baptistry. And maybe that'll help. And if you hold on to anything but Jesus, you'll not get to heaven. You've got to put all your faith in Him alone. And so you've got to cut all the ropes of everything you're trusting. See, here's what Buddhists do. A lot of Buddhists. They'll trust Jesus and their other gods. But you've got to cut ropes of any other god, which is not even a god. You have to cut ropes of anything else you're trusting and put all your faith in Jesus only. Catholics, cut the rope of the Virgin. Respect her, but you've got to accept Jesus alone by faith. That's what the Bible says, I'm telling you. If you are Baptist and you're trusting, well, I got baptized. So people say, are you going to heaven? Yeah, I got baptized. You need to cut the rope of baptism. You have to put your faith in Jesus only. Let's bow our heads. But now this is the most crucial time of the whole message, so please keep your train of thought. And as I may have the center mic, it would be helpful. So keep your train of thought as we ask you important questions. And this is a matter of eternal life and death for someone here tonight. And if it's you, I think the Holy Spirit's trying to talk to you. You need to hear Him because He wants you in heaven, and that's why He's speaking to you. Now, as the pianist just softly plays, how will you respond tonight? Now, first, if you love God and you love your Bible and you've accepted Jesus by faith and you know that's the only way and you wanted Him, you're not perfect. But when you sin, you feel terrible. That's an indication you are probably born again. If you're trusting Jesus and Him alone, and you know you're going to heaven without a doubt, would you slip up your hand if you can say so? I know I'm going to heaven without a doubt. All right, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I saw several that didn't raise their hand. Thank you for your honesty. Now, it's very hard to preach without you feeling like we're trying to make you feel bad. And to get you to understand we're on your side, and that if you drink beer or you're in adultery, or even if you've never even just asked the Lord to save you, we don't think of you as less of a person or a bad person. We think of you as someone who Jesus loves, and you need to be saved. That's what this is about. And everybody, in whatever time they have left, 5 years, 1 year, 5 days, 50 years, everyone who is here tonight and you don't know you're going to heaven, you're going to be in heaven or hell one day. Some of you soon. And you are going to have to be born again. And when you get born again, He changes your heart. He makes you born again. And then you go to heaven forever when it's all done. And frankly, anybody who ever finds new life in Christ finds it fresh and wins. Aren't you about done with sin? And aren't you ready to have your life changed?
And why would you walk away from love? And so here's the thing. If you don't know you're born again, you can do something about it. So who here tonight would say, Brother Mike, I appreciate the message. I don't know I'm born again, but I know I want to be. I want to be. I want this to be my thing, not somebody else's thing. I want to receive Jesus as my Savior and be born again. I'm not sure I am, and I want to. And if there's one, it's worth it. So who here tonight would say, I don't know I'm going to heaven, but I know I don't want to go to hell, and if I need to be born again, I want to be born again. Pray for me. Just slip up your hand. I'll see it and remember you in the prayer. God bless you back there. God bless you here. God bless you on my left. That's three immediately. God bless you back there. That's four. Is there anybody else? I see another young person. That's five. Is there anybody else? I don't know that I'm born again, but I want to be. I want to choose Jesus and put my faith in Him alone for salvation. Anybody else? I just don't see the evidences are there. I'm not sure I'm born again, but I want to be. Anybody else? All right, God bless you there. Good for you. Now, that doesn't mean you're not saved if you have doubts. But if there's not a change, you really need to be born again. Ma'am, did you want Jesus? Did you want Him? If you don't want Him, you don't have Him. Anybody else? Five have raised their hand. Is there another? I'm just not sure I'm born again. The evidences just aren't there. I see that. Thank you. Thank you. Is there another? I see that. God bless you there. Now, I'm not trying to make you doubt your salvation. I want you to examine yourself. And if you have doubts, I'm really glad that you're acknowledging it. And you know what? If you decide tonight you do want Jesus and you'll take the step and you will put your faith in Jesus, walk that aisle, put your faith in Jesus, then you'll have it settled. And you'll see a new nature come in. It'll be wonderful. Is there anybody else along with these six? I just don't know. I'm born again. The evidences just aren't there. Or I never trusted the right thing and I want to. Anybody else along with these six? Anyone else? Just slip it up real quickly and we'll include you in the prayer. All right. In a moment, we'll pray for you six and then I want to help you. I want to talk directly to you six. I see those hands and I will include you in the prayer. Now, I'll talk to you in just a moment and try to help you. But before I go any further, I have one more question. Is there anybody here who would say, Brother Mike, I know I'm born again because when I sin, I'm not comfortable. And I just am not acting like I'm born again. And you would say, Brother Mike, pray for me that I would act like what I am. I need to start acting like what I am, a Christian. And I've not been acting like that. If that's you, would you slip up your hand if you say, I know I'm born again and that's why I'm not happy because I'm not being what I am. I just got to be who I am. I'm a Christian. I might as well be it. Because that's what I am. Good, 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 good. And that's why you're unhappy, because you just aren't comfortable doing things that unsaved people do, if that's what's going on. Because you're a new person. Now, that's a good thing. So be what you are. Might as well not go in sin. You can't enjoy it anyway, because you're a Christian. Anybody else? All right. Father, I pray for these six who said they don't know for sure they're going to heaven. And I pray, Lord, tonight we'd be able to help them all the way to genuine repentance and faith. And then, Lord, I pray for these who say that they are Christians and that's why they're so unhappy when they do the wrong thing. Help them to know that you've not stopped loving them, but help them to see that that's why they're not comfortable. So they might as well live like a Christian, because that's what they are and that's their nature. And so, Lord, as they do the right thing in the area that you're speaking to them about, reward them with that peace that you give when they obey and when they serve you. Now, with our heads bowed, there were six real quickly who probably the most important thing we could talk about is you being born again. You six, it's going to take some courage, but would you six just lift your head and look at me where you're sitting, just you six with nobody else looking. You said, I don't know I'm born again, but I want to be. And you lifted up your hand. I want to help you just where you're sitting. Okay. Now, sir, nobody's looking but us. If you're not sure you're born again, am I reading that? You're not really sure? Okay, would you like to make sure? Now, would you be willing to talk to a man about it for about 10 minutes? Wonderful. If you're willing, you could in just a moment when we stand, go to the very back. Would you raise your hand there? right back here and we'll team you up with a man, take your Bible with you and we'll look it over and we'll help you. Back here, teens, you raised your hand, two of you young men. Would you be willing to talk to a personal worker? Go all the way. Don't stop. Over here on my right, you young people, would you be willing to talk to somebody about it? Would you be willing to talk to a lady about it? So here's what we're going to do. Why don't you six, if you want to make sure you're saved, why don't you stand up and just slip out? Everybody's head will be bowed. If someone's in your way, they'll move. And you could stand up right now and go right back and we'll get a personal worker for you. Someone's in your way, they'll move. If you'd rather wait until we all stand, we can do that too. That's right. God bless you there. You three over here, we don't force, we invite. You two young teens, young men, we don't force, we invite. But I want to encourage you, don't be afraid of getting saved. Be afraid of not getting saved. And you just stand up and slip out and your life will change. It'll be good. Let me make it a little easier. Let's all just stand to our feet. And with our head bowed as the pianist is playing, if you don't know you're saved, two have already slipped out. You go to the back. If you girls want to make sure you're saved, you slip out. We'll get someone to counsel you. You slip out and go toward the back as the pianist is playing. Anybody else, just as the pianist plays, you two young men, why don't you just go? The biggest reason you wouldn't go, I think, is you're afraid of what someone would think of your friends. And I want you to know, we don't force. We invite. And so I understand that peer pressure, but if you'll just take a step, you'll be glad. Go to the back and let's get some help. Now, I'm going to have Greg sing a stanza or two, and when he sings, if you still want to be saved, you go to the back, and if you as a Christian want to get things right with God, I'm going to challenge you. At least pray where you're at, but it'll do you a whole lot more good if you just come down and pray to God and say, God, I'm a Christian, I'm going to start living like it. And you come as the Lord leads.